When I finish reading, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you believe that is true, I invite you to say, thanks be to God. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. The men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's remain standing together. We're going to continue to sing praise to the Lord.
Came stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tomb.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, and worship you with song, and hear your word, and pray, and take communion, and watch baptisms, Lord. These are all things to praise you for and to be joyful about. Help this not to be just another Sunday, or just another thing that we check off our boxes for today, Lord. I pray that we would come here and we would meet with you, that we would meet with you, and that the songs that we sing would not be meaningless words in our mouths, but that we would think about every word that we sing. Because you are mighty and you are glorious, and that we would take every word that you speak through Kyle to heart. And Lord, I just pray that this Sunday would just not be another normal day for us, Lord, that we would come and we would meet with you and we would experience you, and that we would give you the praise that you deserve. In Jesus' name I pray.
Wow, what a powerful morning. And today we get to celebrate communion together. We're going to do that at the end of our service. And the next service, we'll be baptizing. We have the opportunity to be able to baptize a young man who has prayed to receive Christ and has been walking with him now and is being discipled in him. So we're excited today to be able to experience the ordinances that the Lord Jesus has commanded us. You know, ordinances are, we celebrate two of them, and that is he ordained and said, as long as you meet, do these two things, baptize in my name, and when you meet together, as often as you do this, you remember me by taking the Lord's Supper, and so we get to do that today. One of the other things that we get to do often, and I'm going to do this today, is pray for one another. You know, one of our dear ladies who is just so vital to our community. She serves in our women's ministry. She serves in our kids' ministry. She serves in our student ministry. Her name is Amanda Johnstone. Amanda has some surgeries that she's happening right now. Even as we're meeting right now, she is in surgery. You would never know. She has a very difficult disease that eats away at her extremities, her fingers and those types of things. And today she is in surgery right now. And here's what I want to do. I want to ask that we take a moment and that we intercede on behalf of Amanda and her family. But I also want to ask this. There may be some of you in here who are in need of prayer right now. You don't have to necessarily say what that is, but if you would say, I need you to pray for me. I need this body to pray for me. If you would right now, just stand all around. Anyone that you would like for us to pray for you, you do that. Okay. You can see around. I'm going to ask that you turn and you see your brothers and your sisters. And if there is someone near you right now that you can begin praying for them, I'm going to ask that you do that as I voice a prayer on behalf of this body. So let's pray together. Father, right now we come to you. We are a body that is in need. Father, we ask for your power. We ask for your strength. We ask for your presence. Father, specifically, I pray for the doctors, the nurses, all of those who are involved with Amanda's surgery. And I ask, God, that you would be right there in that operating room, Father, that you would be guiding their hands. We ask you to do this. Lord, we've seen you move before, and so we're asking you to do that now. You are the great physician. Father, in this very room right now, there are men and women all around who are in need of prayer. Lord, you know their need. You know their situation. You know what the struggle of their heart is. You know why they're standing. And so, Father, right now, we come together as one body to intercede on their behalf, and we ask that you would move and meet whatever this need is, physical, emotional, relational, financial, whatever it is, would you be in the middle of their situation? Lord, may this be the beginning of them turning to you and crying out, and may we as a body continue to hold our brothers and sisters up in these moments. You're the strong one. You're the one who moves. You're the one who heals, and it only happens because of the shed blood of Jesus, and we thank you for Jesus, and it is in his name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. I would ask right now that if there are someone around you that you saw and you were praying for today, as we leave, stop and tell them that you prayed for them and that you interceded on their behalf. This is what we do as a body. We pray for one another. This is why it's good to know and be known so that we can pray for one another as a body. If you're new to us today, this is the very first day that you've joined with us. You've picked a really good day. I shouldn't say you picked it. It may feel like that. The Lord brought you here today because we're starting a brand new series. We're going to be in the book of Jonah. So if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Jonah. Jonah's in the Old Testament. Some of you right now, you're going, Jonah, I think I've heard of this guy before. Maybe it was Vacation Bible School, a man on the run, big fish. Am I right? Yes, you're right. You are. But I want to say this. This story is more about a huge, big God than it is about a big fish, okay? That's what I want us to begin to catch as we walk through this series over the next several weeks. We're going to be reading, as we often do, we're reading scripture, or we're going to be reading, by the end of this, we're going to have read the entire book together. And so I would encourage you, you go ahead and you start reading through the book of Jonah. Read over and over and over. You're saying, well, Kyle, wait a minute, I'm in a reading plan. This is short. Just start reading with us, all right? You just continue to read in addition to your reading plan that you're reading through. And we're asking the Lord to do some incredible things in your life right here. One of my prayers is this. We're calling this series Relentless because we do serve a relentless God. We serve a God who is always on the move, a God who is always chasing after us, a God who is always pursuing us. And in the midst of that, my hope is that you'll encounter this relentless God, that he will change your life, that he will call you to be on a relentless pursuit of him. And as a church, he will put us on his relentless mission. My prayer for us today, the next several weeks as we walk through this, is that God's going to do something in your life. And I want to speak to you for just a moment as a church. Those of you who have surrendered your life to Jesus, I want you to know I'm praying that God will call some of you to go to the other side of the world. I'm asking the Lord, God, you already know who it is, and would you call them and would they be obedient? But I'm also asking that he would call some of you to go to across town. That he would ask you to go across the street and that you would begin to depend on your relentless God who is full of mercy, full of grace, full of powerful. He is the one who gives all words, all wisdom. And that you would know that where he sends you, where he guides you, he will provide for you exactly what it is that you need. This is my prayer as we begin to start today. To start, before we get into Jonah himself and we follow up on what it is that Austin so aptly read for us a little while ago, a few minutes ago, the first chapter, I want to draw your attention to a man named Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was born in 1832. He lived in England. He came from a very, very devout Christian family. At the age of 17, God saved him. And between the ages of 17 and 21, the Lord gave him a heart and a desire for the Word of God, for the things of God. He also began to birth in Hudson a desire for those who were not saved in China. And so at the age of 21, with no seminary education, no formal education, no understanding of mission theology or philosophy, he just knew that he loved Jesus, he loved the Word, and that he had to go. He got on a boat. He boarded a boat, got on a boat, and sailed to China, literally. You tell someone to take a slow boat to China, that's exactly what Hudson Taylor did. He spent the next 50-plus years of his life in China preaching the gospel of Jesus. Over those 50 years, he started a ministry called that came to be known the China Inland Mission. China Inland Mission, I believe today it's Operation Mobilization is what it's called. He landed there in 1853, and by 1900, he landed there in 1853, and by 1900, 47 years later, there were over 100,000 Christians across the entire country. Today, because of his obedience and the obedience of hundreds of thousands who have come after him, there are over 200 million believers in China. 200 million believers in China. Now, I need you to hear me. I think there's 3 billion Chinese. It still doesn't scratch the surface, but what we know is this, is that the Chinese church, the underground church, is exploding. The gospel is going all over because there was a man who got on a boat, who boarded a boat, who heard from God, and he went. He went. You may be going, what does this have to do with today? Well, I think Hudson Taylor stands in direct contrast to the guy that we're about to read about. Hudson Taylor didn't believe that you had to be a man who or a woman who had extraordinary gifts. In fact, he wrote in his journal, this is one of the things that he wrote. He said, God isn't looking for people of great faith, but people who are willing to follow him. I think a lot of times what ends up happening is we look at someone and we put ourselves in comparison to them. They know more, they're more charismatic, they've got all these connections, they've been put in a position. Man, they just have natural whatever it is. That's not what God's looking for. God's looking for people who are willing to follow him. And my prayer for us is that we would be willing to follow him wherever it is that he calls us to go. That we would be willing to say and do, to give, to go, whatever it is, wherever and however the Lord has called us to go. This morning, we're going to see a big difference. We're going to see a big difference between Jonah and Hudson Taylor. To really get the weight of what it is that Austin read to us today and that you're going to be reading, I think we have to ask a question. We have to begin with this question. The question that we've got to ask is this, is who is Jonah? Who is Jonah to begin with? It's a really good question. I want to make sure that you hear me loud and clear, everyone here, because I believe this book, because we believe this book, but me specifically, believe this book from front to back. Table of contents, the maps, it's all true. Here's what we know. Jonah was a real man. He's not a metaphor for something. He's not an allegory. This is not a myth. This was a real man in real time, in real space, with a real fish. And this story is true and right and accurate. And some of you right now may be going like this. If you're online with us, you're worshiping with us online, maybe you're asking this. You mean to tell me that you think a real live human man could be swallowed by a big fish? Well, I don't think we start there. I think I have to go back and go, if God can miraculously cause a baby to be born by a virgin, if God can raise his son from the dead, resurrect him, if Jesus could take two fish and five loaves and feed 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children. And there'd be 12 baskets left over. Yes, it is quite possible. It is true that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Why? Because we serve a great God. Listen, science is all about proving things that happen over and over and over and over again. Science doesn't have a category for miracles. You realize that? There's no category. This is a miracle of God. This is what happened. Jonah himself is not a huge character in the Bible. Jonah's got one book. Now, you know, that's pretty big. He's got a book named after him. He's called one of the minor prophets. Now, he's minor, not because of what he did or his insignificance, but because there's only four chapters. Okay, there's only four chapters. Jonah has four chapters. He's mentioned one other time in the Old Testament. He's mentioned a time or two in the New Testament, but it's major because Jesus himself spoke about Jonah. He compared him being buried in the tomb with the 3 days that Jonah was in the well. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to go, oh, this is a minor dude. His story's not big. Well, listen, I need you to know that Jonah's story and who Jonah is and what Jonah is about is hugely significant. But there's also another clue about who Jonah is that I think you're going to enjoy. If you got a pen and a piece of paper, I want you to write this down. There's a passage in the Old Testament. In fact, there's a clue to it in Jonah 1:1. Jonah 1:1 says this. It calls Jonah. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. The son of Amittai. This is important because in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 14, you're introduced that there was a school of prophets, people who they studied the word of the Lord, they followed him, the Lord would give them direct words and they would speak it. Well, in 2 Kings chapter 14, it says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, and what he did is he went and he was commanded by God to go speak to the king Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. At that point, it was divided northern kingdom and southern kingdom, Israel and Judah. He said, and the word of the Lord came and said, listen, you're to go to the king and you're to say this, build a wall of protection. Who was the wall of protection between? Their greatest and most fierce enemy of that day, the Assyrians. The Assyrians were to the north. They were a brutal, brutal people. They were so brutal that when they would go into an area to overtake and their armies would go in, they would destroy, they would mutilate, they would carve the images of what they had done onto the palace walls of the places they had conquered as a reminder to those who came, this is what we've done to them, this is what we'll do to you. They would even go so far as they would take those that they had conquered, they would skin them and fly their hides as flags. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, go to King Jeroboam, this message in 2 Kings, and you tell him, listen, you build a wall, you set a protection, and I will protect you from your greatest enemy. So Jonah goes and he tells him, and the people, yeah, let's do it. They do build it, and they're protected from the greatest enemy that they knew. Jonah heard the word of the Lord. He went to the king and told the king, this is what you're to do, and the people rejoiced, and God was glorified. But what happened? What happened? What happened here? How did we get from there to here? Well, let's look for just a second at something. I want you to write down Jonah's rebellion. How did we get to Jonah's rebellion here? Well, the scripture tells us that the word of the Lord, another word came to Jonah. He had already heard a word, and now a new word comes. And this happens in verse 2. The Lord says, arise. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Jonah, God gives Jonah a new word. Remember, he's a part of the school of prophets who spend their day listening, studying, praying, going before the Father, hearing from him, delivering the messages to the people, and the word comes, arise. Now, this word arise is very key here because some of your translations have taken that word arise out and they've put another word. That word arise is key in the ESV because it means this. It means to stand up, to gird up, to be strong. He says, arise and go to Nineveh and call them to repent. Now, this may not seem like staggering news to you and me, but you've got to remember. Now, do you know what the capital city, Nineveh, the capital city, you know what capital it's the capital of? The Assyrian Empire. The one where he had, in 2 Kings 14, went to the king and said, hey, build a wall. Do this. This is our protection. Now then, the Lord has said, I don't even want you to just go to the king. I want you to go to the people. Remember, these are the ones that are filleting people. These are the ones that are killing everyone. This is your fiercest enemy. This would be like 1940s Polish Jew heading to Nazi Berlin and standing at the Brandenburg Gate and calling them to repent. This would be today like a Ukrainian, Kiev, going to Red Square, Moscow, and crying out against the Kremlin. This is what Jonah was called to. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. But what does Jonah do? Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You hear me say this often. Wherever you see things repeated, they're important. You need to circle them. The phrase, from the presence of the Lord, is three times in this record. Three times in this passage. He is fleeing from the presence of the Lord. There's a word there for us. Do you notice what verse 3 starts with? But. Whenever the Lord speaks to you and me, and he gives us his word, and the first word after it is, but God, there's a problem. There's an issue. And I think one of the things that we have to catch is that this is the word of the Lord speaking to you and me. So when he speaks to us and we come up with, but God, you don't understand this. But God, you don't know them. But God, you don't see my... You need to understand, there's an issue. As a follower of Jesus, when we start putting but after what it is that God has called us to, we're already in a difficult situation. You know what Jonah did? Jonah ran to the nearest cruise agent, booked him a ship to the farthest place he could get. He said, I am out. I'm out. He went as far as he could to get away from what it was that God had called him to. This ought to grab our attention. This is the same man who was a prophet of God, who heard from God, who studied his word, who listened to him, who spoke for him. This should speak to us in here. There, you realize it is possible to be sitting in the seat. You realize that it is possible to be teaching a Bible study class, leading worship, being the leader of whatever ministry or call it may be for you, and yet in your heart you're saying, no God, no God, no God. Not there is no God, but disobedient. No, I'm not going to do that. Folks, you know what Jonah shows us here? Usefulness is not always faithfulness. Usefulness is not always faithfulness. How many times in the scripture have we seen God use something out of the ordinary or use a disobedient? Think about, listen, all of the men, the great men and women of scripture, they had flaws, didn't they? They had flaws. They would not be the pastor of any church today. Because we would look at them and go, nope, you've done this and you're out. And maybe rightly so in our day and time. But what I want you to hear is that it is possible that God is using you, that you're involved in leadership, that you're doing something here at this body, making yourself useful, but deep down inside you're saying, no, God. There's an issue with a relationship in your home and you're saying, no, God, I'm not going to correct it. There is an issue with a relationship at work. There's a brother or a sister. There's an issue with finances. Some of you, listen, I know what January's like. I've seen this. Some of you have leveraged the next 2 years to make sure that there was a great Christmas. You've been unfaithful. You've been saying, no, God, I'm not going to let you have my finances. I'm going to do my way. Some of you in here, you are in the middle of an extramarital relationship. Maybe it hasn't become physical yet, but it has become mental. It's become fantasy. And you're saying, no, God. Here's what I need you to know. Today, you can come home. We serve a great God. And where we've been saying no, you know what he's calling us to today? To put our yes on the table. You trade your no for a yes and begin to be obedient to what it is that he's called you. I love how one pastor put it. I believe it was Alistair Begg I was reading and listening to this week. He said, you're never further from the Lord than when you were close and you still say no. You still say no. This is a word for us today, and I believe that if the Lord were here, and I believe that he is, he may be saying to you, arise, stand up, don't say no. You see, there are people everywhere who appear to be walking with the Lord, but we don't know what's happening right here. We don't know what's happening right here. And today, this is our call. This is the call to you and me. This is the call to you and me to repent, to come home. The Bible says in verse 3 that he went down to Joppa. Joppa is modern-day Jaffa. Modern-day Jaffa. You're going to see if you begin to read, and I hope that you will again, you begin to see another word that's repeated often. It's a phrase that he went down. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the boat. And I believe that's very intentional. It's a picture of what happens when we find ourselves being disobedient to the Lord. Things just begin to go down in our life. Notice that it says that he went down to he went to get on a boat in Joppa to head to Tarshish. To head to Tarshish. Now, no one really knows for certain where Tarshish is. We don't know. Some people think that it could be on the coast of Spain somewhere. We're on the Mediterranean, the coast of Spain. That's a long way away, but I want you to hear this. Do you notice he repeats it three different times? In verses 1-3, you hear Tarshish, you hear Tarshish, you hear Tarshish. But I need you to catch this. The point is not the destination. The point is that he is running from God. Tarshish is a word that we could use like Timbuktu. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to Timbuktu. I am gone. This is exactly what he was doing. Jonah, he was dead set. He was dead set in standing in opposition to God. You realize, when we say no, we're standing in opposition to God. We're standing in opposition to him. You see, it's warning us. Jonah himself, who wrote this, is wanting us to understand, I walk with God, I serve God, I carry the voice of God to the people of God so that they would be obedient to God, yet he himself was walking in the opposite direction. You see, going to Nineveh, it would cost him everything. Would have cost him his comfort, would have cost him his place, his friends, all the other prophet people would have looked at him and said, what are you doing going to the enemy? Are you kidding me? Do you realize what you're doing? It would have cost him everything. But I need you to hear this. His flight, his boat ride to Timbuktu, Tarshish, would end up costing him more than his sacrificial obedience to the Lord. And it's always that way. What we think is going to cost us becomes simple sacrifice. And what we choose to find out so often, and if I ask you to raise your hand in here, it would be up everywhere, I'm sure. What we've come to realize is that when we run away and say no to God and we don't follow what it is that he's called us to, follower of Christ right now, you run away from what it is that God has called you to do, and you know that you're being disobedient to what it is that he's called us to, it always costs you more. It always costs us more. And this is where he is. When God's word calls us to steward our finances and we don't, it leads to financial ruin. I need you to hear, and unhappiness. When God calls us to steward our marital relationship and we don't, it leads to broken trust. It leads to broken families. When God calls us to steward intimacy with him, and we turn and we walk away from all that we've known, even in a moment, do you realize fellowship becomes broken? He doesn't leave us. We're not unsaved, but we're not walking in perfect harmony with him anymore. See, this is Jonah's rebellion. And we have to ask, is this what's happening to us? Is this where I find myself today? You see, there are some things that, and I've had this conversation with several folks, we often begin to look at things, and we should, in the realm of expense and investment. You realize that when you're following the Lord, you're investing in an eternity. It's never an expense. Do you know when it becomes an expense? When you run from what it is that he's called us to do. When he's called you to be obedient and you say no, then it becomes an expense. And we're going to see that it cost everyone around you. It cost everyone around you. Jonah would soon learn this lesson. Instead of walking in the presence and in the favor of God and trusting him, he fled. And the scripture says that he went to the coast. And you know what he did? He paid a fare and he got on the boat. Here's what I know, follower of Christ. Your sin will always cost you. It will always cost you. You're not only paying the fare, but everyone else around you. And the good news today is that Jesus has already paid your fare. You're forgiven. You don't have to walk in disobedience. Here, we see Jonah's rebellion. The second thing that I want you to see, though, is this, and this is the hope of the gospel, is that God pursued him. We see Jonah's rebellion, but I want you to see God's pursuit. So Jonah jumps on the boat. He's heading in the opposite direction. But even in Jonah's rebellion, I need you to catch this, even in Jonah's rebellion, God pursued him. God was still chasing after him. Look at what verse 4 says. You have another but. But the Lord. It says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. There are two themes all throughout the book of Jonah that you're going to see everywhere that we talk. Number one is this, it's the mission of God. Number two, it's the sovereignty of God. The mission of God and the sovereignty of God. The mission of God in Jonah is that there is a nation and a people who do not know me, and as wicked as they are, your disobedience is not going to change them coming to know me. Because I am a God of all people, all languages, and all tribes. And Jonah, I've ordained that you're the one that's going to take the message to them, and you're not going to disobey me. And then you see God's sovereignty. What does sovereignty mean? It means that he's the all-powerful. He's the all-ruler. He's the one who controls all. And so what does he do as Jonah says, nope, I'm going to stiff arm and I'm headed this direction? He sits back and the scripture says, but the Lord hurled. You're going to see the word hurled quite a bit. He hurled. He threw a great wind upon the sea, and it began to threaten the ship. God put his sovereignty on display. See, God was not going to let his prophet disobey him. He wasn't going to allow that. Here's the great thing. If you're a follower of God and you're stiff-arming him, he's going to let you stiff-arm him for a period of time. But what may end up happening if we're not willing to bend, if we keep the stiff arm, that arm may eventually break. If we keep running, there will come a point when he puts us on our knees. Because you see, the scripture tells us that the Father, he disciplines those that he loves. He calls us. You see, the storm that happened, the Bible tells us here in this passage that the storm was so great that while Jonah was in the boat sleeping, can you imagine how tired? Listen, have you ever been running from God and you just get tired emotionally, you get tired physically, you're tired spiritually. You get worn out from running. You get tired. Amy, my wife, is a teacher. She's taught for many, many years, and she used to always say to kids when they would come to him and say, "Make him stop chasing me. Make her stop chasing me." She would say, "He can't chase you if you don't run." You know, there's a lot of wisdom in a fourth grade teacher right there, isn't it? Listen, if the Lord, if you feel like, man, I've been saying no, I'm running and I'm getting worn out, stop running. Stop running, because it is the Lord who is pursuing you. And as Jonah is sleeping in the belly of the boat, do you see what the sailors are doing, the mariners? It says they're outside working their tails off to keep this thing from breaking apart, because it looks like the boat is going to just be destroyed. They're throwing cargo over. They're going crazy. They don't know what to do, and I need you to hear. If you're a follower of Christ, you say you've surrendered your life, and you're saying no to God, you're running in the opposite direction, you're headed to Timbuktu, far away from where it is that he wants you to go. No, I need you to hear. The tentacles of your sin will wrap around everyone in your life, because you do not live in a vacuum. You see, the enemy, the evil one, wants to speak to us and say, hey, listen, this isn't going to affect anybody. Nobody's going to know. You can do this. And what it does is it affects everyone in your sphere. Everyone in your sphere. And while Jonah's in the belly of that ship sleeping, everyone else around him is scrambling, because what God is doing is he's trying to get Jonah's attention. And when God's trying to get our attention, it affects everyone. We all see it. And it's like, why can't I see it? You see it. Why can't I see it? Because I'm running in the opposite direction. See, Jonah's lesson here that he's about to learn is that his sin is at the expense of the sailors. It's at the expense of the sailors. Notice what happens. The captain comes to him, verse 6. It says, what do you mean, you sleeper? Notice the word arise again. Stand up, arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God, because he didn't know who he followed. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. The pagan captain calls out to Jonah, get up, dude, get off the bed. We're drowning out here. The boat's about to go. I need you to call out to your God. Whoever he is, I don't care. You know, we saw an illustration of that, didn't we, about two Mondays ago on the football field. A man goes down in a football game, and everyone just, I don't care who you're praying to, start praying. I'm thankful to the Lord that the man was, he's better. I'm thankful. Praise God. But it was just, call out to your God. This is what the pagan captain is saying. He's imploring Jonah. You call out. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says the pagan sailors, they begin to cast lots. They begin to throw lots. We're going to figure out who this thing is for. And you know what? The lotto rang up. All the balls came up. Jonah. Jackpot. They go drag Jonah out, and they start asking him all kinds of questions. What's your occupation? Who are you? Where are you from? Who's the God you serve? Why have you brought this on to us? What is it that has happened? I need you to know, this is another example of God's sovereignty. Yet listen, throwing the dice, Proverbs 16:13 says this, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. You may think things are random, but I need you to hear, the sovereignty of God is working for his glory and for your good. And so when Jonah is found out, you know what Jonah does? Jonah comes out. Can you imagine the conversation? What do you do? I'm a prophet of God. I listen to God and I do what he says and I tell people. Can you imagine how awkward that is? How awkward it is when people find out, I thought you followed God. I thought this is what you... Notice what he says though in verse 9. At this point, after the questioning, five different questions, Jonah has to like lay his cards on the table. And in verse 9, he says this, and he said to them, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. That word, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, Yahweh, the most personal name, the most private name of God. I follow Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you've done? For the men knew he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now, what we don't know is when he told them, but the fact is they knew he was running from God. Why? Because he told them, I'm out. Folks, when we're running from God, we do the craziest things. We're convicted of the craziest thing. No one's going to find out. I'm going to say things that it doesn't even line up. See, they knew. They knew. Jonah confesses, comes clean. This is who I am. I follow Yahweh. And these soldiers, these sailors, these mariners, they had heard of this Hebrew God. Escaping Egypt, plagues, parting the Red Sea, Jericho falling down, what? And now this God has his sights set on us. Are you kidding me? Jonah, what are you doing? What am I doing? Have you ever woken up and thought, what in the world am I doing? How did I end up here? What has happened? So what do they do? Verse 14 says, they cry out to the Lord. They commit themselves to him. They make vows. And then the scripture says they hurled Jonah over. Folks, when we're in our sin, and what the Lord does to get us back, sometimes it feels like he's just hurled us, doesn't it? When Romans 12 tells us that if we would get up each morning and we would lay our lives, we would make an altar and we sacrifice ourselves to him to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might be a pleasing offering to him, a sweet sacrifice. This is what he's called them to. Folks, I want you to know the Lord's always doing more than what you see. And that should bring us comfort. Even in the midst of our disobedience, even in the midst of us running, do you know that you have a God who is pursuing you because he loves you? He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to drown. And not only that, he has people and a task that he's called you to. You see, the further and the farther, the harder that Jonah ran, the more God pursued him. He brought people to him. He even caused him to cry out, this is who I am. And what do you want us to do, Jonah? I want you to take me. I'm the reason that we're here, and I want you to hurl me over. I want you to hurl me over. Listen, though Jonah had made a mess of the ministry going to Nineveh, he's sinking in the consequences of his sin. I need you to hear me. God's not done with him. Praise God. I'm going to stop real quick. We're not done. I need you right here with me. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how far away you feel like you are. God is not done with you. He is pursuing you. He's chasing you. He's calling you. He died for you. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Why? Because there are people who need to know about the grace that he's given into your life. There are people that he's got you going towards that need to understand what you've just been saved from so that you might cry out. Listen, there are none of us that are perfect. There is none good, no, not one, right? None of us. But thanks be to God, he is. Jesus is. He's the one that died. He's the one that sacrificed his son, his life. Look at verse 17. I'm going to close out. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. We may think the great fish was some sort of punishment on Jonah. I want you to revamp that and to see this. That was a great mercy of the Lord. Listen, if God's not getting him there by a boat, he's going to get him there by a fish. You know why? Because there are people in Nineveh who are far from him. And the Lord, listen, I've always heard this back in East Texas. Lord will use a crooked stick to beat a straight line all the time. Ain't none of you in here perfect. I'm not perfect. But we're the ones that the Lord has chosen to use. And we're thankful that when we're in rebellion, he still pursues us to no end. The more Jonah rebelled, the more fierce God was in his pursuit. So what's our response today? How do we respond to this? How do we respond? I think you got to go back to the very first question that I ask. You remember the very first question? Who was Jonah? You are. I am. We're Jonah. It stands very easy to look and go, man, Jonah walked with God, heard from God, spoke his word. Kyle, you walk with him, you've got his word, you hear it, and yet I do, and you do the same thing Jonah did. We turn and we run, we rebel. But the gospel is that God pursues us. The hound of heaven never lays down. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is always coming after us. There's no area in your life where you say no that he's not already Lord over. You realize that, don't you? You're just not in it. Because that area is not dependent on you. The Lord God is sovereign. He's inviting you to come to steward your money that he's given you. He's inviting you to it. To tell someone the relationship he's given you, to tell someone about it. And he will do whatever it takes for his children because he wants you to know him. He wants to know you deeply. He already knows you. He wants you to spend that time with him. This is why he chases after us. Folks, some of you today in here, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you feel like you're in a storm of life right now. And I want to be really clear. That storm that you're in is not punishment. That is the grace of the Lord calling you back. He's calling you back. The Lord allows all kinds of things in our life. But some of those are of our own doing. But he still utilizes those things to call us and pursue us in love to him. Today, some of you are sitting in here and you're the pagan sailors. You go, I don't know God. I haven't trusted him. Some of you have done exactly what those sailors have done. You've made vows. We're willing to do whatever it takes. Get me out of this situation. You know what the Lord is doing today? He's brought you here. The storm in your life is so that you might know him. So that you might surrender to him. He'll use every... You realize there's nothing wasted in God's economy. Nothing wasted. Every good thing, every bad thing, every harsh thing, is never wasted. because he's in pursuit of you. Today, here's how we're going to close. In just a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is specifically for believers, those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we're going to take a few moments here and we're going to examine ourselves. Number one, am I even in the Lord? If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, what we're about to do is not for you. It's for those who have surrendered their life to Christ. My prayer is that if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I'd love to talk to you about that. Because when we take the Lord's Supper again, I want you to be a part of that. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that Paul said, listen, you guys in Corinth, you're making a mockery and an abuse of the Lord's Supper. You're not waiting on each other. You're dividing up into camps. Some have, some don't. You're taking the communion wine. You're getting drunk on it. You're making a whole mockery of what it is that I've done. And he says, you've got to examine that. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to take a few moments. Zion's going to come, and he's going to just quietly, or not quietly, softly, how about that, play under. As we sit, as we talk to the Lord about where we are. And I'm going to ask, maybe in this moment, you want someone to pray with you. I'll be down front right here. I'd love to pray with you. You can remain seated. But we're going to pray together. And at the end of that time, our deacons, if you're a deacon right now, I'm going to ask that you go to the back. You're going to be serving communion during this time. You go to the back. And then in just a moment, I'm going to call them and we're going to pass our communion elements and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. So let's pray together. Father, I pray right now for this time. And I'm asking, Lord God, would you please speak? Would you allow us to examine where we have been stiff-arming, where we've been saying no. Father, I'm asking that you would reveal to those who do not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, would you call them to life in this very moment? I'm going to stand down here, and if you'd like someone to pray with you, I'm here. If not, you pray. Our deacons, if you'll come forward, they'll have some in the front and some at the back, and you can go ahead and begin. They're going to be passing these out, and if you're not a follower, you just pass it on over. If you are, please take one and hold it. Take your time. We're not in any hurry. Everybody up here. Thanks be to God for his grace. The scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed and Mark, that he took the bread of that Passover and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, broken, given to you. I'm going to ask that you open up that side with a little wafer. May this small piece remind us of his sacrifice, but may it also point us, may it also point us to the wedding feast one day when we truly will see our bread of life and be with him. Take and eat. Scripture tells us that in the same way he took the cup of the old covenant and he redefined it into a new covenant, his blood shed for us. We know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Lambs and bulls and goats and turtle doves will never do it. It's only in the shed blood of Jesus that we have forgiveness. Today we take, if you'll open. Take and drink. You know, Jonah points us to a greater Jonah. His name is Jesus. Where Jonah ran from the will of God, Jesus accomplished all that was set before him. He was obedient even unto death, death on a cross. Where because of Jonah and his sin affected all of those sailors, I need you to know the greater Jonah, Jesus, because of his obedience, we now are healed by his stripes, those of us who have surrendered our lives. There is no more condemnation. This isn't an ending. This is a beginning. Zion's going to come and lead us. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to leave. And if you need to talk more, I'll be out in the foyer. Bless the Lord today. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Zion.
Stand and sing together.